a tenured professor at Lincoln University who in 2010 questioned the Holocaust and called for Israel's destruction, is now making derogatory remarks about Jews, women, and gays. The university yesterday said it does not plan to take action, saying Kalkab Siddiqui is entitled to express his opinions, so long as he doesn't present them, quote, as the views of the university. Though, is Lincoln subject to legal responsibilities in this matter? And for that, we turn to Burton Cain, Temple University Professor of Law. Professor, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
My pleasure.
I understand you teach courses in constitutional law, First Amendment, political and civil rights. This seems to bring in aspects of all of them. Why don't we start with the First Amendment?
Okay, the First Amendment only applies to the government. And if this university is not the government, then technically speaking, the First Amendment doesn't apply at all. There's always a question, I guess, as to whether or not some universities are or are not government, depending upon whether they get a lot of money. University of Pennsylvania, for example, proclaims they don't have to obey the First Amendment, and they don't. They have a speech code. They've always had it. They've gotten in trouble with it involving cases which have gone around the world. But they constantly say that they don't have to obey the First Amendment because no matter how much money they get, and they couldn't exist one day without it, they are not the government.
Though I'm reminded of a more recent example earlier, I believe this year in Oklahoma, where a university acted to ban a fraternity that whose speech was also considered egregious.
Right. And in that case, too, I rendered an opinion that the university, if it is a public university, has no right to stop speech. If it's a private university, then there are different ideas.
As you cite the government, though, Lincoln is a state-related university.
If it is a state-related university, I'm not sure that means that they're government. Temple University, for example, is also a state-related institution. And therefore, Temple claimed that it's more private than it is public, but it lost. And there is a decision in the Court of Appeals of the Third Circuit saying Temple is government and therefore must obey the First Amendment.
Professor, square this notion of First Amendment free speech rights with Pennsylvania, which is an at-will state regarding employment. Isn't it discretionary on the part of the employer, in this case the university, to determine how long that relationship continues?
Well, there are other things that you go with that, too, and that is the question is whether or not there is an implied contract provision that professors are allowed to do what they want, especially exercise freedom of speech. I don't know what documents there are, what laws there are which apply to this university, which give you that kind of an argument or not, but that's a question of fact.
To get a better sense of your interpretation, I'm wondering when, in your opinion, egregious or derogatory speech rises to the level of hate speech.
Hate speech has no definition. It's what people think. And if you hate it enough, it's hate speech.
Professor, just to get, again, a fuller sense of your definition, do you think it was misguided, for example, of Germany to outlaw the swastika as an emblem to be shown anywhere in that nation post-World War II?
Germany has a different idea, and that is they're still trying to overcome a murderous regime which killed 6 million Jews and 20 million Russians and so forth. There you're getting to a very close idea of whether or not this is speech at all, whether or not this is simply promoting unlawful conduct, which has been real. An American university would do it, it seems to me, is perfectly violative of the Constitution of the United States. And in fact, I did try the case in Philadelphia where the Nazi Party was marching in front of the Liberty Bell saying, kill the Jews, finish the job which Hitler started. I tried the case on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union. One of the things I told the Jewish community in Philadelphia was instead of opposing the question of the Nazi march, what they should have been doing, they should have had clergymen, black and white, Catholic and Protestant, Jewish and so forth, standing around with yellow stars on their breasts saying, this is really dangerous, and people ought to rise up against this because our values are much more prejudiced.
So by way of analogy, a similar action could perhaps be taken by students or fellow professors at Lincoln if they so chose.
Well, not only could it, it should.
Professor, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Burton Cain is a professor of law at Temple University.